Okay, so let's get into this. We hear so much talk about DEI, right? But here's a number that really jumped out at me from this Aniline report.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this huge gap in DEI performance between tech companies and retail companies. I mean, we're talking an average score of 49 in tech versus like just 26 in retail.
Wow, that's quite a spread.
Exactly. And it just tells you, we've got to dig deeper than just the corporate statements to see what's really driving these differences.
Well, and that's exactly what Aniline does, which is why this analysis is so useful.
Yeah.
They're not just taking companies at their word. They've analyzed millions, literally millions, of employee reviews.
Right, looking at the actual sentiment.
Exactly. They're looking at feedback on things like leadership, culture, integrity, and they generate these quantitative scores. So it lets us see with actual data what seems to be working or not working.
For some pretty big names too.
Right.
Accenture, Microsoft, Salesforce on one end, maybe.
And then you've got others like Nike, Apple, but also Tesla, Activision Blizzard, SpaceX, Palantir, even Hobby Lobby. It's a wide range.
So our mission today is basically to pull out the key insights for you, the listener, from all this data. What really matters when it comes to DEI?
And Aniline's approach is helpful because they connect the dots. They look at DEI scores, yes, but also how they relate to scores for leadership, things like fairness, communication, organizational integrity, the workplace culture itself, even benefits and pay. And they have this thing called the Resilience Index, too.
Right, the resilience index, we'll definitely get to that. It sounds like it all ties together. So, yeah, let's figure out what the data says truly drives DEI beyond the usual sort of sound bites.
Okay, well, the first big takeaway, and maybe the strongest correlation they found, is the link between leadership quality and DEI performance. It seems foundational.
Yeah, I saw that. The numbers are pretty stark. Companies doing well on DEI, Microsoft, Nike, Salesforce, their leadership scores were what, 35 to 38?
That's right.
But then the ones struggling more with DEI, like Tesla, Hobby Lobby, Walmart, their leadership scores were way down, like 23 to 28.
A huge difference.
It really is. And it makes you think, why is that connection so strong? Is it just about leaders setting a tone, or is it more concrete?
I think it's likely a mix. Aniline's analysis points to themes in the reviews from those lower scoring companies. Things like poor management, maybe perceived favoritism, lack of clear communication.
Yeah, stuff that erodes trust.
Exactly. When that trust isn't there, it creates this climate where DEI initiatives, even if they exist on paper, just don't land. Employees might not believe they're genuine or that they'll be applied fairly.
That makes perfect sense. It shows DEI isn't just some HR policy tucked away somewhere. It's tied directly to how people actually experience being led day to day.
It's deeply embedded.
Okay, so if leadership is number one, what was the next strongest link Aniline found?
That would be organizational integrity. Basically, does the company walk the talk?
Ah, okay. Consistency.
Yes. And again, the scores show a clear split. High DEI performers, they scored between 43 and 47 on integrity. The lower DEI performers were down between 26 and 38.
So, what does that integrity score actually capture? Is it about ethics? Honesty?
It reflects how consistently employees feel the company acts ethically, transparently, follows through on its promises. Are policies applied fairly? Is there transparency in decision making?
And I guess the flip side is seeing things like lack of transparency or inconsistent policies or maybe even corporate hypocrisy popping up in reviews for those lower scoring companies.
Precisely. And you can see how that would kill trust, right? If employees feel there's a disconnect between the values the company claims to have, especially around fairness and equity, and what they actually see happening.
Then any DEI effort feels hollow.
Exactly. Aniline's data suggests that this perceived integrity gap is a huge barrier. It undermines the psychological safety people need to feel truly included.
Okay, let's circle back to that industry divide you mentioned earlier. Tech versus retail. Average DEI score of 49 for tech, only 26 for retail.
I like.
Yeah, that's massive.
It is. And the data makes you ask, why? Are tech companies just inherently set up better for this? Or are they simply investing more resources?
What does Aniline suggest?
It seems to be a bit of both, frankly. Tech companies often do have more progressive policies on the books. Think flexible work, parental leave, things like that. And often, yes, there's more explicit financial investment in DEI programs.
But it might not just be policy, right? Could it be the type of work, the workforce itself?
That's definitely part of the consideration. The nature of work, the talent pool they draw from, the company structures, they differ significantly. Retail often involves large, dispersed workforces, maybe tighter margins.
Yeah, potentially creating different kinds of challenges for implementing DEI effectively compared to, say, a software company.
It suggests that you really need tailored approaches, not just one size fits all.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, something else that feels really core, workplace culture, the overall environment. How does that play in according to Annaline?
Oh, hugely. This was another really strong link. They found companies where the overall workplace environment score was below 50. Well, their average DEI score was just 27.
Go below 50 means not great.
Yeah, indicating more negative employee experiences, maybe issues with teamwork, communication, workload, just the general vibe. But when that workplace score climbed above 50.
Let me guess, the DEI score jumped.
Dramatically.
Yeah.
The average DEI score for those companies was 48.
Wow. So a better place to work day to day seems directly linked to better DEI outcomes.
Absolutely. And what's really interesting is that Annaline found these workplace scores were highly correlated with both the leadership scores and the DEI scores across their whole database.
So it's all interconnected. Leadership, culture, DEI, they reinforce each other.
Exactly. It underlines that DEI can't really thrive in isolation. You can't bolt on an inclusion program onto a toxic or dysfunctional culture and expect it to work.
It's like trying to, I don't know, grow flowers in concrete.
That's a good way to put it. If the environment is described as high pressure, maybe cutthroat, or chronically short-staffed, DEI efforts will struggle. People need to feel fundamentally respected and supported first.
So it really boils down to the basic employee experience. Positive DEI is part of that fabric, not separate from it.
Mm-hmm. Woven right in.
Okay. Now, for something that genuinely surprised me in the Annaline findings, it's about benefits.
Yes, the benefits disconnect. That was quite revealing.
Yeah, because you'd think good benefits would correlate with good DEI, right? But Annaline found some companies with frankly poor DEI scores actually scored pretty well on benefits.
That's right. Tesla, for instance, DEI score around 28, but its benefits score was up at 76. Hobby Lobby, DEI 24, benefits 61. Walmart, DEI 26, benefits 68.
So what's the thinking there? Are they maybe using benefits to kind of paper over other issues? Like, yeah, the culture is tough, but hey, great health plan.
That's certainly one plausible interpretation. Or maybe using strong benefits purely as a recruitment tactic, especially if the day-to-day work environment isn't the main draw.
It's a way to get people in the door, even if the experience inside isn't ideal.
Potentially. And it lines up with another finding. Across their whole data set, Annaline found the weakest correlations between DEI scores and scores for compensation and benefits.
Huh. So good pay and perks alone just aren't enough to guarantee an inclusive environment.
It seems not. They're important, obviously, for attracting people and meeting basic needs, but they don't seem to address those core cultural issues, things like bias, fairness, respect, that are central to DEI.
Okay, that definitely adds a layer of nuance. You can't just look at a best benefits list and assume it's a great place for everyone.
You really have to look deeper.
Now, let's connect this all to Annaline's idea of organizational resilience. How does that fit in?
This is where it really comes together. Annaline defines resilience using 5 pillars. Leadership is the biggest chunk, 30%. Then workplace environment at 25%, integrity at 20%, work-life balance 15%, and career development 10%.
Okay, so weighted towards the things we've already seen correlate with DEI.
Exactly. And what they found is that the companies struggling with DEI also tend to show weaknesses across these same resilience pillars. It's like DEI and resilience are two sides of the same coin.
A lack of DEI isn't just a DEI problem. It might signal broader organizational fragility.
That's what the data suggests. Take Tesla again, low leadership score, 24, low DEI score, 28. And Annaline noted employee comments pointing to a very centralized, top-down decision-making style.
Which could hinder both good management and the kind of open dialogue needed for DEI, right?
Precisely. It stifles things. On the flip side, companies that score high in resilience often seem to view DEI differently.
How so?
Not just as like a compliance thing or a nice to have, but as something that actually makes the organization stronger, more innovative.
And there's research backing that up, isn't there? The link between diversity and better performance.
Oh, absolutely. There's a lot of research. Studies consistently show diverse teams make better decisions. Some studies say up to 87% of the time. They often deliver better results, too. McKinsey's work, for example, repeatedly finds a strong correlation between diversity, especially in leadership, and financial outperformance.
They call it a powerful enabler of business performance, I think.
Yes. It's not just about fairness, it's about effectiveness.
So what are the mechanisms? How does diversity actually build that resilience and performance?
Well, several ways. More diverse teams bring a broader range of perspectives, experiences, and approaches to problem solving. This leads to more robust debate and often more creative solutions.
Avoids groupthink.
Exactly. There's also evidence it boosts cognitive flexibility, the ability to adapt thinking to new situations. Diverse organizations might be better at anticipating shifts or seeing challenges from multiple angles.
Almost like built-in shock absorption.
In a way, yes. It can help identify blind spots.
Yeah.
And fundamentally, diverse inputs tend to fuel more innovation. Different ideas bumping against each other spark new ones.
So really, embedding DEI isn't just an ethical goal, it's strategic. It builds a more adaptable, smarter, tougher organization.
That's the argument. And Annalyn's data seems to support it. The factors driving DEI good leadership, integrity, positive culture are the bedrock of a resilient organization.
They're not separate initiatives fighting for resources. They're fundamentally linked.
Deeply intertwined.
Okay, so wrapping this up. We've seen strong leadership, high integrity, and a healthy workplace culture are critical for DEI based on Annalyn's analysis of employee feedback. And these same factors build overall organizational resilience.
That's the core finding.
Which leaves me, and maybe you, the listener, with this kind of provocative thought. If the business case is so clear, if DEI is so tightly wound up with the basic health and adaptability of a company, why do some organizations still seem to treat it as secondary, like an optional extra, rather than a core part of strategy?
That's the multi-million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah. What are the hidden costs, you know, of not fully embracing it, of that disconnect?
It's definitely something worth pondering. Understanding these deeper connections from the Annalyn data gives you a much sharper lens for looking at companies beyond just their PR.
It helps you evaluate their real strength, their potential. It suggests that true DEI isn't just about ticking boxes.
No, it's about building something fundamentally stronger, more capable, more resilient from the ground up.